Welcome to Cat Crazy. I'm Tracy Hotchner, and I am crazy about cats and the people who care for them. I'm here every week with Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkins or a guest veterinarian co-host to answer any of your questions about living with your kitty. I want to thank my sponsors. I've invited these companies to be here because I believe in them and use them myself. And Whole Life Pet will send you free protein treats for cats and dogs if you send me your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com. There's a whole week's worth of wonderful live pet shows I co-host on our own Radio Pet Lady Network. So please check out the schedule at radiopetlady.com. Cat Crazy is a production of 8 Paws LLC, which is solely responsible for its content. The number here is 888-429-5471. I'd love to hear from you. That's 888-429-5471. Give us a call. Our very own Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkins is actually in-house here with us tonight. It is so great to have you here, Dr. Elizabeth.
Thank you, Tracy. It's great to be here, as always.
Well, for me, it's like this, you know, like you save up all your big questions for Elizabeth, because I have great co-hosts, but even though I say to them, if you want to co-host the show, I'd be thrilled to have you, but there's just two things that there's no wiggle room about. One is no declawing cats. The other is no feeding dry food to cats. And if you're okay with that and you accept that both those things are horrid for cats, then come on and be my co-host. And they, I don't know, maybe they're not telling me the truth. They go, yes, yes, I agree, but I can't really get into the nitty gritty with it the way I can with you. So anybody out there, are you feeding your cats dry food? Have you heard me call it kitty crack? Have you heard Dr. Elizabeth and me talk about it before? If this is a new idea to you, please call us. Let us walk you down the path to wellness for your kitties with real meat. 888-429-5471. So here's my big dilemma. It's not really a dilemma, but there's a wonderful vet who I really like, and I admire her. She's a great gal, and her husband's a vet too. And I was having this conversation with them vis-a-vis maybe being guests on my NPR show Dog Talk, where you've come many times. And I said, you know, I'm just wondering and hoping that you share my belief and that of Elizabeth Hodgkins, the official vet of the show, about dry food being, you know, inappropriate for the obligate carnivore and causing the cause of obesity, the cause of diabetes and many other problems. And they say, yes, but I do have to say we do feed one of our cats who has IBD a prescription food. Oh, boy. So I was like, okay, so you believe that the obligate carnivore should only have meat, but then when they're sick, you feed them dry food. So when you had your feline-only practice, which was for a long time, and you bred champion Asa cats, you must have had people thinking they had IBD, or you told them they had IBD. I can't imagine that a dry food was the solution, not in your world.
No, it wasn't. And yes, when I was actually before I had my cat exclusive practice, of course, I saw lots of feline inflammatory bowel disease or inflammatory bowel syndrome. You'll hear it both ways, IBD or IBS. Yeah, there's a ton of it out there. And it's like diabetes and obesity and cystitis in cats. It's caused by diet. It's caused by overprocessed dry kitty crack. Gee, what a shock. And because it's caused by that, there's a ton of it because that's what all the cats are eating, unfortunately. So there was lots of opportunity to get experience, Tracy. I mean,
yes,
I got lots of practice, sad to say. And I practiced when in the early part of my career, when I believed in prescription foods and I believed in dry cat food, I was unaware of this connection. I tried to manage these cats with the foods that were then available for these kinds of conditions. And sometimes the cats improved a little bit. They improved a little bit compared to what is the question.
Yes.
But once
absolutely.
I got into my practice, and at that point, I no longer believed in dry food. As a matter of fact, it was anathema to me. There is no way it was ever going to cross my threshold. And
yep.
So when I started seeing these cases, I knew I had to go about it a different way. So I'm unique in that I'm a veterinarian who's been practicing for 36 years and has had experience with both using prescription foods to deal with this problem and using alternatives to prescription foods to deal with it. And I can tell you that you get much better results. Overall, you get much better results much faster when you stay away from kitty crack as a solution to the problems caused by kitty crack.
I love now, that. I love that. You know, somehow we should have that embroidered on a pillow and have it in our living rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kitty crack is not a solution to kitty crack.
Like more of the hair of the dog that bit you or whatever that expression is.
That's
although
right.
Probably if you're hungover, it is better to have a pint at the pub than it is to feed a different dry food to your cat who is probably sick in his stomach because he's been eating dry food.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, all you can say is that GP is better than the food that caused the problem, but it's not better than the actual correction of the problem. And that's where you want to go. You want to go all the way to the correction of the problem.
Yeah. Because if you because inflammatory bowel disease, the cat either having vomiting or I guess diarrhea, having an upset tummy a lot, people, even good vets, even smart people, but if they aren't hyper-focused on nutrition or they don't sort of look beyond the bag, they think, well, there's something wrong with my kitty, but it's that kitty is more sensitive to the inappropriateness of feeding highly processed carbs than other kitties. Is that kind of easy to say?
Well, and that is actually true. I mean, there's a wide variety of tolerance within the cat population, just like there is in the people population.
Yes.
And so, yes, some cats are going to be more quickly, more adversely affected by the bad effects of kitty crack. But that doesn't mean that those that are more resistant and seem to be doing well deeper into their lives aren't nonetheless being harmed and won't eventually develop one of these bad diseases. And we know that sometimes they do.
So if we took a kitty who had IBD, he had whatever the symptoms are, gosh, they even being fancy doctors could have done endoscopies for all I know. I don't know. They may have done all kinds of diagnostic
things. Probably.
I mean, I myself just had an endoscopy thinking, oh, I might have an ulcer. And guess what? I had IBD also, and I don't even eat kitty crack. So, you know, this could happen to any human or to any animal. But I guess if you're only feeding kitty crack and that's what you think cats could eat or should eat or might eat, then a variation on it where the protein has been hydrolyzed and made much more digestible, like pre-digested if you want, would be better than that. But you're saying that kitty with IBD, if you put them on a high-quality canned food with only 10% carbs, like one of our sponsors, Woruva, or any of the very many super premium brands, that cat would be getting better just from eating the right food.
Absolutely. I mean, I saw it. There's a brand, and since I'm going to say something nice, I'm going to name a brand. You know,
good.
Royal Canine has their canned limited antigen diet that I would use. It was the only commercial food that I used to manage this problem, and only in the canned form, but it worked pretty well. My preference, of course, is the homemade diet.
Yes.
But at least you've got to get them off this highly processed plant-based diet, which all dried foods are.
And giving more of that same thing might calm them down for a little while, but in the end of the day, they're still going to be a cat with an upset digestive system.
Yeah, and they do have breaks, and they're often only to a limited extent really improved. I mean, there's an improvement noted, but these cats so seldom really become normal. And yet I know from doing dozens of these cats, you can get them normal. You can get them normal. They can have stools that look just like every other cat's stools. They can stop vomiting. If you change their diet and you convince their GI tract that in fact it is a good life and that there is value in trying to do its job, if we're talking about the intestines or the small intestines, large intestines, the architecture of the cells that line those organs return to normal once those surfaces are actually seeing the normal amino acids, the normal nutrients, the normal fats, and all of the various constituents of a normal diet are going through, then they can grow back their villi and they can begin to absorb water properly and absorb nutrients. So total cure or a permanent remission is possible, but it's very seldom seen on diets of the prescription diet food for the IBD, IBS cat.
So I could recommend to her or anybody else whose cat is suffering this way that you could get the Royal Canin food. What is the name again of the canned diet? Because if you liked it, it must have been really good.
Well, I think they call it limited antigen. It's like pea and lamb, pea and rabbit, pea okay. and venison, and pea and, oh, there's one of, there are four
duck,
of
maybe,
them.
Duck or something.
It's duck. You're right. Pea and duck.
I was guessing. There's it was a shot them. In the dark. And yep. then after some period of time, after the guts have healed and become more normalized, you could then transition them slowly to a, perhaps to a high quality regular canned food.
Canned food. Yes.
Yeah, beautiful. You sure see that, guys? So there's a solution to everything. We already have a couple of calls. We have one from a very dear friend of the Radio Pet Lady Network, Sarah Hodgson, who is my co-host on Your Dog's Best Friend, but she also has a kitty to whom she has been a great friend. Sarah, welcome to Cat Crazy.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello there. And this is Dr. Elizabeth. Sarah, it's so must be funny to be sitting in the other chair, right?
Hi, Sarah.
Well, I like it, but I have a real conundrum to share, and I don't
Good.
Know if you can help me. I'm listening to all of, all of what you're saying, but our problem with Halo, who we've so named, and he was tossed out of a car on a parkway in a kind of a broken down plastic crate, and a veterinarian friend of mine rescued him, and in a couple of days he ended up here at the Happy Dog Farm with four dogs and two children and a lizard and a rabbit. And he's adapted beautifully. He's the nicest cat. He's so cool. He lounges on the bookshelves and he just picks all these wonderful places to sit around, and he has a healthy diet. But he has a problem that I have to wonder if this is why the people gave up on him, although I think it was a demonstrative way. He
to give up, you mean?
Pees on fabric. We found a tablecloth that he peed on. He occasionally pees on a bed. And we've had cats forever, and I've never had a cat with this problem. He seems adverse to the litter boxes sometimes, but not all the time.
So, Elizabeth, okay. One thing we would talk about would be the size and shape of the box as well as the litter itself, right?
Right. And sure, the first question, of course, is you've had him checked. You've had a urinalysis done. You've had him checked, and there's nothing wrong with the urine, right? There's no evidence of infection, right? That has to be the first
no,
step.
No, but I will.
Yeah.
Okay. That has to be the first
step. It happens
step.
Yeah. like once a month.
Right. And it's pretty...
It's so totally random.
It's unlikely that he does have a problem, you know, an organic disease problem. But you got to get that off the list because you'll be fighting an uphill
right.
battle if he does have a low-level infection, and we're just ignoring that. So that, you know, any veterinarian listening to this show would absolutely send
yes.
me hate mail if I did not
That's
say
right.
that, because it is the first step. You've got to make sure there isn't an underlying organic physical problem. And then we'll start talking about the psychological problem.
Because, Sarah, okay. one thing that can be considered is he's mellow, thank God, but he has come into a really active whirlwind household. We don't know if he lived in a, you know, in a tent with somebody before, in someone's basement apartment alone with some wacko who then threw him out of a car. So he comes into your big, beautiful, bright, airy house, and you think, what a nice life. But you've got two children, four dogs, not to mention the lizard and rabbit, and you're not exactly a sit-around lady. So there's all this activity and you know, sensory input for him, and it can be overwhelming. One thing,
right.
that
well,
I'm sure
I've
Elizabeth...
That I've absolutely, like, wow. He loves my children. I mean, he loves them.
I'm not
them.
Saying he dislikes anything.
Son.
It's just a lot to take in. Elizabeth, tell her about
yeah.
Feel Away, because I think
yeah.
that Feel Away might be another piece of the puzzle.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's where I was going next, was that... what's going through this cat's head, we can only imagine. And outward manifestations don't always tell us, Sarah, you undoubtedly know enough about cats. The behaviors we see in cats don't tell us half of the story of what's actually going
right.
on. And while he may be a very calm cat, and there may be a great deal about his environment that he likes and he's enjoying, particularly compared to before. But there still may be stress and anxiety. Right. There may be drivers that make him want to mark things in your home as his. You know, he's happy, mm-hmm. but he still wants everybody else to know this is mine. Mm-hmm. And so he is.
Yes, fascinating.
See? And
he
so.
He never marks the dog beds. He'll mark. He never marked the dog beds.
Well, he doesn't want them.
The only thing he marks bed-wise is the child he sleeps with.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense because
sure.
that is his. That's what he wants. What feel away does, and it's kind of interesting, feel away is a natural pheromone that cats use to mark things as theirs. Okay. And what we find, and we have to speculate a little bit, but I think it's informed, educated speculation. We believe that when you put feel away into the environment of a cat in the form of either the spray or the diffuser, and I'd recommend both for you, and I'm happy to send it to you if you would like. When you put that into his environment, you essentially say to him, no need to mark, it's been done. Okay. And most of us would much rather have feel away. For example, if you wanted to lightly spray areas around the child's bed where he's spraying, believe me, the feel away is very innocuous. Once it dries, it has no odor. It certainly is not disagreeable like cat urine on your bed is. I spray regularly chairs in my home where my cats sometimes like to mark. I recently, this morning, as a matter of fact, sprayed my suitcase. Because nice. My cat, when I came home from being away for 10 days, one of my cats who adores me went over and uncharacteristically peed there. And it was it's about time you got home. This is mine. Don't take it again. So I sprayed my suitcase, which all that does is just tell her she doesn't have to do it. I already did it for her. And I'm much more willing to have feel away on my suitcase than her pee.
And by the way, what is the synthetic hormone of, Sarah, is the cheek glands, not wee-wee. So when they rub their cheeks on something, they are marking it.
Yeah.
And that's the pheromone. That's this chemical that they can transmit or emit from their cheek glands that is in the spray and the diffuser. It's so helpful to any time that a cat is rehomed. You're the dog lady, so you know how Adaptil works, you know. You know how dog appeasing pheromone, which is what it used to be called, that they now have a collar for it. But, I mean, diffusers and spray of that is very calming and comforting to dogs. And this works the same way, except for that dogs don't mark to the extent that cats do. Right. So I think that would be a really good solution.
Some of them do, but
yeah. Do you have a cat tree?
Oh, heavens, yes.
Oh, heavens, God, she's so good. She knows all the good stuff. Well, as long as he's got a swell place that he can be higher than everybody, because sometimes you just need to lord it over all those critters in the house that can't climb a tree, which is everybody else.
Yeah, he's sitting right with me. I'm down in the kitchen. My daughter's listening upstairs on the
Hi,
computer,
Lindsay.
And the cat's sitting right here on the counter with me. I mean, we don't, chase him off the counter. We don't really half the time the dog's climbing around on the counter. I'm kidding. But, you know, we're very laid back. We don't yell at the cat or we're not chasing him off. We're not, you know, he's always higher up than everybody's the lord of the manor. But it's a puzzle. You know, I never discipline him for it. I never find that he's done it. And I'd say he's only done it maybe 4 times.
Right.
But it's definitely cat and not dog.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's definitely for the reasons that Elizabeth said. There are some things he just has to say, you know, some of the stuff here is mine. So if you can figure out what those kind of surfaces are and spray them lightly with the feel away, and the rooms in which he spends the most time have the diffuser, because it lasts, what, Elizabeth, 30 days, right?
Right, right.
So then it's emitting the what Elizabeth Himes calls the Linus blanket, the security blanket. He comes into a room and he goes, good, someone took care of this room for me.
Yep.
You know, so he doesn't have to go around and figure out.
What should we do about the litter boxes? Because they're not big litter boxes.
Well, big is better. And less litter is better. This is your early Christmas.
Less litter?
Less litter. Only a quarter to a half of an inch maximum. I'm going to send you a coupon from one of our other sponsors, Precious Cat Litter, for Cat Attract Litter. Elizabeth will tell you that cats that have been discarded to the shelter because they were having out of litter box problems will go back in a box that has Cat Attract Litter in it. It has these herbs that attract
the cats.
Well,
I'm going to go and buy it tomorrow.
Okay, you buy it tomorrow and then I'll send you a coupon as well, so then you'll be stocked for life. But you if it, the litter box is in any way old or was ever used by another cat, then you got to throw that away. If that was ever used by another cat, he's not going to want to go there, maybe.
I'm going to go out and buy new litter boxes tomorrow.
So here's what to do.
Bigger,
Go to Walmart or the equivalent and buy under bed boxes. Throw away the lid. Things that people use under their bed to store their, hats.
Oh, yeah, I have a bunch of those, but they're huge.
Well, they might be too big, right, Elizabeth? On the other hand, some cats don't mind jumping in and out. Those are fine because then you can toss them away a couple of times a year. Or if you want to be, you know, chic and support the pet industry, you could buy a litter box. I mean, there's no law against it. It's just that people that want to change their litter boxes a lot can buy a $5 under bed box and it works like a dream.
Right.
And he looked from what the picture that you sent, he looks like young and athletic. He might not mind hopping in and out. Elizabeth, do you think it matters if it's a litter box versus an under bed box? I just always recommend it.
Not at all. I've used both of them depending on the cat's own preferences. And if the wall is high enough that when they, you know, when they're starting to bury their business, it doesn't throw litter all over the floor, then you're golden. Yep.
All right. So these are the good things you're going
to
do.
It's okay to have it be tall because we have litter all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like
you can have it be tall. You can also cut the front so it's a bit of an entry area. And then all the other 3.5 sides are still tall. Okay.
Oh, and they like that. Now, how about the hooded ones?
No, never. No, never.
No,
we have to
never.
Go to a break, but we're so thrilled you called. And now if Elizabeth ever has
a
dog
joy.
Question, she'll
so
call in on Thursday night and she'll return the favor.
Maybe I'll call
the
tomorrow just to talk to tell you the progress in 24 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, you can call every night. Excellent. Sarah, we're so glad you called. We're so glad you rescued Halo.
And now
your house won't smell like pee-pee anymore because you're going to have feel away to make him feel like it's always been his. Okay?
I love it. And I'll send you a picture of Halo. Just for fun.
Excellent. Thanks, sweetie. Have a great
night.
Thank
you, guys.
Thanks, Sarah. Okay.
We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we have Robin from Covered in Cat Hair, who's one of your biggest fans, Elizabeth. We'll be right back after this break. This show is brought to you by Woruva, a privately owned company that makes pet food in a human food facility, so it's good enough for you to eat. All the flavors of Woruva, Cats in the Kitchen, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are great for finicky little dogs and choosy cats, especially those you're trying to transition away from dry foods. Woruva chooses not to make any dry food because carbohydrates are inappropriate for an obligate carnivore, and they believe your pussycat deserves to eat as well as you do. This show is supported by the Pheromone products Feel Away for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that are a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Adaptil can help with problems like separation anxiety in dogs, and Feel Away diffusers can reduce problems in a multi-cat household. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend Feel Away and Adaptil as stress relievers to solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment to their new home and comfort young puppies and kittens who have just left their litters. Look for Feel Away and Adaptil at RadioPetLady.com, where you can buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in their omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses sustainably sourced wild fish from healthy stocks with third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals omega-3 fish oil to their bowls every day. And Nordic has made a new offer to all of the listeners on the Radio Pet Lady Network on any show. You get 15% off. You should write this down, Elizabeth. Your entire order for pets or people every single time you shop, not once. 15% off. You put Pet Radio 13, as in 2013, in the code box and free shipping on any order over $25. So myself, my whole human family, my whole animal family all use Nordic Naturals in various forms, and it's very cool to get 15% off and free shipping. Who doesn't love that?
Well,
Robin from Covered in Cat Hair, how wonderful to have you call in when Dr. Elizabeth is here. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Robin.
Well, thank you. Good evening, ladies. Hi, Dr. Elizabeth.
Good to talk to you again. How are things going?
Well, we're doing very well, and we just rescued a new mama cat and 5 little tiny babies.
Oh, my God. Where do you get these? Did people leave these on your doorstep?
Yeah, no, not yet.
Don't tell anyone where you live.
They actually, No, I never do if I can help it. Plus, the IRS doesn't want to know where I live either.
That's right.
No, these little cats came from a very rough part of a town south of here. The kittens were born right next to a sidewalk on a busy street. The mother quickly relocated them into a window well, like on a basement window under this steel grate. And we had to, like, pry the grate up to get the family out.
Oh, my God. Well, thank God you were there.
But they're adorable.
Are they on your kitten cam?
They're on our new kitty cam. We have a second one, and it's just for the kittens, and it's pointed right at them 24 hours a day. I'll have to get you a link for that.
Please.
But we call it Squee TV.
I love it. This is something, we have a wonderful new social media lady, so she can do all the things I am totally incapable of doing. So she will have a link to the, it's called Squee TV, so that's different than the Kitten Associates Kitty Cam?
Yes, it's a second camera. Actually, I should be putting links on our kittenassociates.org website so people can get to it easily. So they can watch either our adult foster cats on the Kitten Associates cam, or they can watch the kittens on Squee TV. Their choice.
That's so great. And what about, when are you able, I mean, Elizabeth will know this, but I'm sure you know it too, Robin. Yeah. At what point can you spay a mama cat? Does she have to finish weaning her babies?
Well, yeah, I mean, we want her to completely, finish weaning and start the process of letting the kittens, transition, and we'll help that at about 4 to 5 weeks. We'll start transitioning the kittens off to, regular food. And as soon as the kittens are about 7-8 weeks old, depending on how everyone's doing and making sure their weights are good, then we'll get mama spayed.
That's so amazing. So anyone who's never seen a teeny baby kitten, they're kind of amazing. I mean, Elizabeth bred and raised and showed her Asa cats for years. So to Elizabeth, a baby kitten is, she's used to it. But to the rest of us, they don't really look like cats when they're really little, at least to me. Do you think so, Robin?
Oh, they don't. They look more like little hamsters or something at first. And, I mean, their ears haven't popped out. Their eyes are shut. They can't really move around too much. They're just like furry little blobs.
So cool. So you're going to be looking for homes for them.
Yes, we will, but it won't be until sometime in August when the kittens are old enough, because they were just born on the 1st of June.
Wow.
Really, so you got there just in time to make sure no harm came to any of them.
Oh, they're like 4 days old when we got them. So, yeah. And the mother was absolutely emaciated, and she's already gained a 1/2 pound since she's been with us, which is a lot of weight gain considering she's feeding 5 kittens.
That's right.
But
that's right, because otherwise all your body goes to the kitty. So she was emaciated. Oh, life is hard for kitties on the loose, right, Elizabeth? It's heartbreaking.
It really
is. Yeah, it's very tough. I often say I'm not coming back as a cat, that's for sure.
Well, they could come back as your cat.
Well, yeah, I'd need a guarantee.
Or Robin's cat. So anybody out there that wants to come back as a cat, be sure you put in the fine print either Robin covered in cat hair or Dr. Elizabeth. Because that's the only place you want to be to get like really treated like a real cat. Robin, that's really cool news. What's happened with Freddie's brother? She lost Freddie. Elizabeth, I'm not sure if I kept you up to date with that. But then she had his brother. Remind me what his brother... Mm-hmm. Fred and the guy from Flintstone.
And Barney.
Yeah,
Barney.
Barney.
Barney's doing fine. He's actually, he had some fur loss due to over-grooming during the stressful time of Fred's demise. Yeah. And now Barney's in a room with our other foster kittens who are about the same age. They're all about 11 months to a year old. And now that they're all friends, which took a little time, not too long, Barney's fur is growing back, so he's happy and just adjusting really well, and he's doing great. And hopefully we'll find him that forever home, because he's been in our program since he was born. So he's been here with us for almost a year, and he is the nicest, most easygoing cat, and he would make a great companion to anybody.
Well, one thing I want to say is that anyone lucky enough to have a cat that's hand-raised, whether it's by Elizabeth or by Robin, those are the cats that really get it about people. You know, we still don't really get it about cats, but the ones who've been raised with us from birth and handled from birth, they really do accept us a lot better than the ones that have had lives with maybe not early socialization or periods where they were just kind of left alone. I think that they've got the best chance of having a really long and happy home with somebody, don't you?
Yeah, I
agree.
I definitely
Yeah, I mean, our cats, people tell us all the time they can't get over how affectionate our cats are, and that's because every day I spend hours with the cats, handling them, playtime, you know, grooming them, making sure that when they go to their families, that their families don't have to feel like, oh, my cat hides under their sofa all the time.
Right.
You know,
because that's a heartbreaker. People adopt a cat and they want to do everything right, and they buy the Necco flies and they buy a cat tree and they get the right litter, and the cat hides under the couch or the bed, and it's very disturbing to people. They feel so rejected.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
they do, and they take it personally, which is really unfortunate, because it's really, you know, the family that has this new cat, they have to work with the cat, and most of them really just don't know how. So to avoid that problem, to the best of our ability, we give them a cat that's stable and that's confident in their own space. We actually have a bed in the foster room, but it's got this wooden panel that goes around the base of it, so no one can hide under the bed. They always have to be out around everyone, and that helps desensitize them to fearful feelings.
That's
great
a
idea.
Smart idea. And then, of course, you do have Feel Away, which you had even before Cat Crazy and Dr. Elizabeth came into your life. You knew about it. I guess the real savvy cat people know they need all the help they can get.
Sure.
Absolutely. We have them all over.
Nice. Well, Robin, congratulations on your new motherhood. This is quite thrilling. Little teeny babies. Can you get me that link right away? Because then on social media every day, I'll just have Holly, who's our new social media lady, like, you know, say something about what they're doing, or I'll look and I'll say something and just get people to get engaged with it. First of all, it's so fun to see teeny babies grow up. And also maybe somebody will fall in love over the internet. It'll be like, you know, match.com with a kitten.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. I'll be sure to do that. And have
terrific.
A wonderful evening, ladies. And thanks for having
thanks,
me on
Robin.
The show.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Robin.
And thanks for calling. We
Thank
always
you.
Love hearing
Bye-bye.
From you. Bye-bye. We're going to go another break. When we get back, I want Dr. Elizabeth to talk about this incredible support she's given to the kitty Rudy, who had diabetes, and she's just got him all straightened out in so many ways. And there's so much that I learned from your email exchange, Elizabeth, about feeding and about other things. I never stop learning something from you. So I think it's something that everyone else will want to know about, too. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back. Support for this show comes from VaxiCheck. Are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxiCheck is a new blood titer test done right in your vet's office that shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases and needs revaccination or not. VaxiCheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use VaxiCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxiCheck. For your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxiCheck for cats is coming soon. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy, inside and out. Precious Cat Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. His renowned Catatrack litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory Relief Litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family, too. And there are special litters for long-haired and senior cats as well. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. I am here with Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkins, the official vet of Cat Crazy. We'd be delighted if you had a question or a comment about, well, certainly about kitty crack, because we always want you to know about that. But feel away. If you want to know more about how it works and whether it's the right thing for your kitty, give us a call, 888-429-5471. Elizabeth, I felt a little guilty because one of the gentleman listeners who wrote in to me about his cat with diabetes, then I had included you in an answer, and then you carried on a whole conversation with him, but I mean long. And I felt bad, like, oh, my God, I'm taking so much of Elizabeth's time. But you were thrilled to help this gentleman get his diabetic cat cured of diabetes by getting him on an all-protein diet, an all-meat diet. What are some of the things that he brought up? One of them is about this issue of blood glucose. And I know any of you listening who have cats with diabetes, Elizabeth has a very different idea about what is an okay blood glucose level. Is that right, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I do. And I feel very justified in my opinion. Of course, one might say, well, you always are that way, Elizabeth. But actually, we did some very interesting work when I was in my practice. Many of my clients helped me do some work that I don't think it had ever been done before, to be honest with you. I loved working with feline diabetics. Of course, I was on the rampage against kitty crack, and I attracted an awful lot of cats with feline diabetes because of my reputation for working with the disease and turning it around. And, of course, yes. I was able to do that because I got them off the cause of the problem, you know. So it was sort of one of these very happy circular processes whereby my success was just leading to more success. And what I did, because I got all of my clients with their diabetic kitties to home test, you know, to use their glucometers just as they would if they had diabetes,
right?
Use those glucometers at home to test their cats. And what we found out, lo and behold, is that the kitty cat, normal as well as diabetic, and we had them doing their normal cats as well. So we had people testing their normal cats.
Well, that was smart.
Yes, exactly, alongside their diabetic kitties. And what we found is that the cat, in its environment, unstressed, sitting around, not worried about anything, not trying to get away from the vet tech or the veterinarian, not listening to dogs bark in its face, and all those other things that have a tendency to stress the cat when it's at the vet's, will generally run a blood glucose. And again, we did so many of these checks, I feel very comfortable with these numbers, anywhere from like 40, yes, 40, on up to about 60 or 70. But the cat's normal, unstressed blood glucose at home is going to be well below 100. At the vet.
So it changes enormously based on stress.
Absolutely.
The way blood pressure does, for us to understand it in our terms?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Yep. Well, you know, people need to understand that you need glucose circulating if you're trying to get away from the bear. If you're in a stressful situation, you need a very rapid source of energy to help you cope with it. And so the body responds to stress by not only increasing blood pressure and increasing adrenaline, okay, it also increases blood glucose, because typically those things are needed in order to help you get away from the bear that's chasing you. You
know, yes, fight back, or flight. Either way, you need the glucose, yes.
Exactly. So, but what, as far as I know, was not known prior to my doing my humble little work is what was normal for the cat, because most veterinarians will tell you that the cat should be somewhere in the 80, 90 to 150 range. And if you tell a veterinarian, you've got this cat, he's sitting on the table, he's calm as can be, his blood glucose is 60, what do? A lot of veterinarians will say, you plug him into an IV and you start running glucose into his veins.
Oh my God.
Well, no, you don't. That's perfectly fine. Most cats are happy as clams at high tide with a blood glucose in that range. In fact, cats run low blood glucose because, as you and I know, Tracy, and as we've been preaching for all these years, cats are not sugar animals. They
yes.
don't do sugar except to get away from the bear or the dog or the wolf or whatever, right?
Yes.
But when they are sitting there looking at you, they want no part of sugar. And that's why high carbohydrate, high sugar, highly processed dry foods are really bad for them, because they are full of sugar. And the cat's pancreas just really doesn't know how to cope with a constant influx of sugar, because it never, ever evolved to be able to do that.
And the thing that it's important to point out to people time and again, and this is true of your own diet, Dr. Elizabeth herself keeps to an extremely strict diet. We've become good friends, thankfully, and I've learned a lot about her ideas about human nutrition, which are specific to our species. But you yourself, Elizabeth, for your body and for your family's health, you believe that one should have a very low carbohydrate diet. But where the cat is concerned, carbohydrates are sugar. Well, I mean, carbohydrates are sugar for all of us, but we don't think of corn as sugar. And a lot of these, the cheaper kibbles, are corn-based. So you're giving sugar to your cat. Now, I saw a commercial at the movie theater, not even on television, for a new children's cereal, like it wasn't bad enough, Lucky Charms, which is a cereal of marshmallows. There's no cereal. It's marshmallows.
Right.
There's a new one called Chocolate Whatever, and it is a center of chocolate surrounded by corn. It's just unbelievable. So in the same culture where we are saying that is, never mind healthy, the fact that that could be even dessert for a kid is mind-boggling. But that it's breakfast, that's the whole breakfast. So, you know, when we're feeding kibble to a cat, it doesn't look like Choco Pops or Lucky Charms. But really, is it not true that it is absolutely the equivalent?
It really is. It's the same technology. Okay, it's the same extrusion technology that General Mills and Kellogg's use to make breakfast cereal. And those who apologize for dry cat foods will say, not so. We put vitamins and minerals in. Well, guess what? They do that with breakfast cereal for kids, and often to the detriment of the animals, at least. I don't know about kids, but often animals are intoxicated by inappropriate ratios of vitamins and minerals. We have recalls every year that your listeners never hear about, recalls of commercial pet foods because of inappropriate vitamin and mineral levels that are determined to have intoxicated animals. Because there's this blue-collar worker that's pushing a button that causes a vitamin mineral mix to be dumped into the into the slurry
into
the dough. Exactly. And if they don't get it right, your animal gets too much vitamin D. And because people feed these foods every day as an exclusive diet, there is no relief from any mistake in that food.
Yes.
It's horrific to think that if a mistake is made in this food, your animal will never be able to escape it. Unlike us, you know, if we eat something that's not good for us, well, we don't do it very often.
That's right.
We have that tiramisu and we know that we probably shouldn't, but we do because we're not going to do it every night. Well,
and also we don't eat the same tiramisu made in the exact same laboratory at every single meal. Even if we have a few tiramisus in the month, they're all from different places with different ingredients and different recipes. And that is another part of the problem, is that it's the same redundancy of these ingredients that aren't right for the cat. It's very interesting that what you came up with was completely different, normal. I have to say to you all again, Elizabeth's book, Your Cat. Now, make sure it's Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkin's book. Another vet took the title. Why? I cannot even imagine. But it's got a gorgeous cat on the front, and it says, Your Cat by Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkin's. You really need the book because, Elizabeth, in the book, in very clear personal experience in your clinic as well as scientific research, you have a law degree, you have your vet degree, you've worked in two of the major pet food companies, you really know how it all works. You debunk a lot of assumed normals, whether it's blood glucose or other things, assumed normals about a cat's size. You know, this is the other problem. People think that a 15-pound cat is normal when he's actually could be as much as morbidly obese because he should be 8 to 10 pounds. So the book Your Cat explains, if anyone's listening to all this and goes, oh, hang on, I can't remember those blood glucose numbers, don't worry. It's all in a really good book. It's called Your Cat. And the other reason that I recommend it to people is because if you're going to stay with your vet, and maybe your vet has told you kitty crack's all right and doesn't even know what you mean by kitty crack, but you like other things about the vet, and he or she can't help themselves. They're indoctrinated and they believe it. If you want to change and you want to listen to what Dr. Elizabeth is saying and what I say so often, take the copy of Your Cat into the office. Here, another veterinarian wrote this. Have a look at this chapter. It's 4 pages long. And then could we have a conversation? Don't you think, Elizabeth, it's a very valuable tool for that kind of use?
Yeah, I've had a lot of veterinarians contact me and say that either they found the book or a pet owner of theirs brought it in, and that
nice.
They have really started thinking about things and have changed the way they practice as a result. It's been really satisfying to get
what
those kind of
feeling.
Comments back. Yeah, it is.
Well, that is great, because sometimes it's, you know, I don't blame a veterinarian for being defensive. If someone comes in with kind of three quarters of the story that they heard on the air, you know, or in a conversation with someone who heard it on the air, so now it's fourth hand,
right,
and they try to explain it, but then they don't have all the pieces of the puzzle. And God forbid if they said they read it on the internet, which I have to admit, I don't believe much that people say Dr. Google said. Well, you know, Dr. Google doesn't actually have a medical degree or a veterinary degree. But it's really great to have the book, because then in nice black and white, very simple, unemotional, not hysterical, it just says, nope, that's not normal. This is why normal is normal. We're going to be right back with more on what is normal in your cat. And if you have any questions, here's your last chance to make a call. 888-429-5471. We'll be right back after this quick break. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for Dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites with the newest technology. Vectra 3D creates a shield on your dog's skin that repels ticks and kills them fast and reliably for the entire month, while being safe for the people in your family. Older products do not last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to RadioPetLady.com. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious and developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist dogs and cats with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com to call The Honest Kitchen for a free consultation about which recipe is right for your pet and to get free samples. Elizabeth, one of the things that I do want to talk about when you're on next is the issue of how actually seriously dangerous to people it is for cats to have fleas. One of the topics that was brought up to me by one of the other doctors on the network, Donna, it wasn't actually Donna Spector, it was a holistic vet that I know, but the relationship of Bartonella in cats and whether people can catch it if they're vaccinated, but that the real culprit is fleas. And so people who may not even see a flea on their cat, but who have a cat, need to keep that cat seriously flea-free for the health of the cat, 50% of whom apparently have Bartonella dormant in them, but also for the people. Is that something that at Vectra is part of the health message to people?
Well, absolutely. Bartonella is an interesting, that's cat scratch fever, as you know, is an interesting disease in that a lot of people who know that the flea is implicated think that the flea bites the cat and then the flea bites the human, but it's not as simple as that. Actually, what happens is the flea gets the organism out of the cat, and the cat may show no signs. Oftentimes, cats don't have any symptoms as a result of the bacteria circulating in their bloodstream, but if the flea ingests that Bartonella or has fed on another cat, perhaps elsewhere, that has the Bartonella, then it will excrete the Bartonella in its feces. And it is the feces that flea is producing that is on the surface of the cat or gets into the home that then can be put into any small cut, any abrasion in the human's skin. And that's how the disease is transmitted. So often, you know, people say, well, it's cat scratch. A cat scratches you, and that's what transmits the disease. Well, what transmits the disease is any break, whether it comes from a cat scratch or not, any break in the skin that then comes in contact with feces of a flea that was infected. Now, if that was all very confusing, not a problem, because the good news is just don't have fleas, and you don't have to worry about that whole hairy cycle of transmission. The fleas have to be there for a human being to get infected with this disease.
Yeah, it's not your cat. It's the flea feces.
Correct.
So, you know, when we say to people that have dogs that are or kitties that are itching and scratching, especially around their butt area, if you see anything that looks like pepper, that's actually flea duty.
Right.
And that's proof there were fleas there. But that's actually the carrier of this very serious disease. And you may have a cat, or in the case of a dog that doesn't react to the flea saliva, which is what causes often that big hot spot or that physical reaction. But if the flea is there at all in your environment, in your home or in the yard, because the dog or cat is a carrier, then the feces are around. And
right.
So, you know, if you're going to move into a new apartment and there's ever been cats or dogs there, you should really have it. Is steam cleaning enough to, when you first move in?
That will be helpful, but I like the idea of either having an exterminator go in, or you can even vacuum thoroughly and then follow with Knockout or Nylar. Those are both
okay.
Anti-flea products, but vacuuming, a thorough vacuuming and steam cleaning will help a great deal.
Bring in your safe dog and cat. You bring
correct.
Them in with their Vectra on from the very
correct.
First minute you enter a new home.
That's right. If there are any living fleas getting ready to emerge from your pupae after you've vacuumed and steamed and whatever else you've done, if they get on the dog that has been treated with Vectra, they have a lifespan of less than 6 hours. So
wow.
Vectra will take care of whatever you haven't gotten rid of with everything else you've done. So that's kind of nice.
And ongoing would do that if anybody happened to enter your
correct.
Living space that had been someplace. I mean, gosh, I would think people that work in shelters, volunteer or work, or in a veterinary office even, can they be carriers of it back
yeah.
into the home? And so then the dog and cat are the actual defenders of your home.
Right.
By
we
wearing
know that
the Vectra.
Absolutely. Eggs and larvae do transfer from one environment to another. They have to. The experiments have been done where there was no other explanation
yes.
for how the fleas appeared in one place that was known to be sterile for fleas. The only way that could have happened was as hitching a ride on
yes.
human beings or other animals.
So you know, you can have your house as clean as you want, and maybe your dog and cat never go out, but humans come and go, and in some people's cases, other pets come and go. So you really need to have that protection all the time, year round. I mean, you know, very hot, dry climates, Texas and so forth, there's no doubt about it. I mean, fleas, I'm sure, year round. California, they're year round, no doubt about that either.
Absolutely.
So I would love to talk some more about Bartonella next time, because there are so many misconceptions about it and fears about it, and people then think cats are dangerous. But the fact is, a cat with Vectra on or a dog with Vectra on actually makes your house safer than a house without a cat in it. Because
absolutely.
Someone else could bring fleas in there somehow. And then once you have a flea feces, one thing goes with the other, and that's how the disease is zoonotic and passes to people. Elizabeth, it's been another great hour. So many cool things that we got to talk about, so many that we never quite got to. But I do want everyone to grab a copy of Your Cat, because then the next time Dr. Elizabeth is with us, you can ask her questions from the book itself, because that's what this gentleman Stan did about his cat, Rudy. He bought your book. And then he asked you questions in the email, which I don't want people to write her emails. I want people to write them to me, and then we'll discuss them on the air, because she has a really, really very full schedule, and her own cats are already annoyed with how much she's away. But it's so great that you want to put yourself out like that to each and every single cat. But your information there about diets and how to manage various diseases and how to know bun and creatinine, what really is kidney disease in a cat? So much more to talk about. I mean, it's a bottomless pit of misunderstandings of the cat out there. And once you have the luck to meet Dr. Elizabeth and see things through her cat's eye, you really will have a different level of knowledge and understanding of your kitty and the ability to keep them really healthy and well. So it's called Your Cat, Beautiful Kitty on the Cover by Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkins. Dr. Elizabeth, I guess you got to go and give your own kitties some goodies now. They've been so good while you were on the air.
It's feeding time for sure.
It's feeding time. Thank you so much. We'll see you again really soon. And I'm sure there'll be lots more emails in the meantime. You guys can write me at radiopetlady@gmail.com if you don't have a chance to call in live on a Monday.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thanks, Dr. Elizabeth. Have a great night. Kiss your kitties, hug your pooches. We will talk to you next week. Bye for now.